Alaska 2000 effort with so little in it that is real education reform, and so much ignores the problems that exist in the schools. That part is tragic. The question that I have for you is on a totally different subject, though. When you were talking about the tenure review committee, you said that it has a chilling factor for somebody to put themselves before the tenure review board. In your opinion, is that the intent of this legislation?
I don't know that I've had anybody explain to me the intent of the legislation, and I'll be very upfront about that. The only exposure I've had to tenure happened in the last session, and the debate that associated that seemed to permeate the whole tenure issue. I think that debate has come back to a degree in this particular component or section of Senate Bill 61. I do believe, I have a fertile imagination and I let it run too much, but I would hope we wouldn't put state employees under a similar situation, because it does create you look at the Tenure Review Committee. The Tenure Review Committee is created by the local Board of Education. What is the criteria you use to measure who goes onto the committee? It's not known. I mean, that committee is not elected. It's not appointed. I think if a board or a commission, or a board in this case, a school board, is relatively tight, I think that board could select a committee that shared similar concerns about their feeling about tenure. And how tenure ought to be applied. I think we could be talking about, the idea that over time, say within a 15-year period of time, as folks, because we are creating a two-tier system of employees. Those employed prior to July 1, 1993 are grandpersoned into the bill. Those who are employed basically after July 1, 1993 will go into this new system. All those employed prior to July 1, 1993 will eventually leave the system, or they'll go to a new school district or whatever. I think that if you had a tenure review board that basically embraced the concept of, tenure is really not good, we shouldn't have it, we should be very, very frugal in granting it, or not grant it at all. I mean, a person can still be employed, but not have tenure, and they become an at-will employee. And then, unfortunately, Alaska will get, if that does happen, and the thing is, and the challenge is, will it happen? I think if you create the opportunity, it can happen. Alaska will become a state that has virtually no protection, and will have no protection whatsoever for employees who might be in school districts 3 or 5 years, not have been granted tenure status. They have no recourse whatsoever to find out who, what, when, where, why. They don't have any, due process standard by which we measure the denial against. So, in effect, over time, if it's a small school, a large school, whatever, you could have a number of employees with no tenure. Now, if I were a school employee and I was less than 2 years of experience, and believe me, what I want to try to do is do a good job because I want to become tenured. It will have a chilling impact on my ability to teach, because I'm not going to be a critical, challenging educator. I'm going to have that fear in the back of my mind that if I go out and I expose children to a textbook or a course of instruction that is challenging and it's different, that I could stir the ire of someone on a tenure review board that gives me, a negative recommendation and then the follow-through with the school board. I think the way it's structured now, it could cause me, and I'll just use me as an example, to say I don't know that I necessarily want to apply for tenure because, and I'm going to use this word, I don't want to get into a hung jury. I mean, if I'm going to lose, why go through the process and lose? I mean, let's just, call a spade a spade and take the loss and move on. And, Senator, I, through the chair, I know the comment was made the other day about tenure being automatic. I don't think it is automatic. I think there is a process that's identified that teachers are carefully evaluated. The school administrator carefully works with those teachers that have less than 2 years of experience. There is that relationship. I know I had my principal was a very important part of my life in a school because he was, in effect, my mentor, gave me a lot of good common sense approach to dealing with things. But I think that process of going through evaluation, going through a careful review of what I'm doing as a first or second year teacher, and in carefully evaluating that before the recommendation is placed before the school board, I think it takes a lot of that automatic nature out of it. Because, you know, I'm the one that really is on the dime. I'm an at-will employee. I can be fired the first year for no reason. I can be fired the second year for no reason. I mean, I got a tougher predicament than a school superintendent who generally comes in with at least a multi-year contract and, you know, has established some due process rights from day one. I mean, you can't take a multi-year contract easily away from a school administrator, particularly in the first, second year of a, say, a three-year experience. So I'm closest to the kids, I'm closest to the parents, but yet my standard doesn't exist, period. I mean, I'm an at-will, and we give, some administrators a greater level. For those reasons, I think it would show me.
Thanks. Made Carl wait a long time. Carl, can you please come forward?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. I'm Carl Rose, Executive Director of the Association of Alaska School Boards. The association has taken a position in support of Alaska 2000. I'd like to tell you that we will have more in-depth testimony on the particulars of Alaska 2000. We have just concluded a six-region, eight-district audio conference network. We touched 49 out of 54 school districts to gain their concerns. We supported Alaska 2000 last November before the final recommendations were made. We support the concept of Alaska 2000. We think it's great potential. We didn't have a chance to set the timelines, and we really didn't have a chance to address our concerns with the state board before the legislation was introduced. Now we find ourselves in a position of having to address the legislation and our concerns through committee. It causes us quite a bit of concern, and that's why we've gone through the audio conference focus group approach. We want to be consistent, we want to be concise in our efforts. What we want to do is to shape the Alaska 2000 package to meet the needs of kids, recognizing some of the problems that already exist in school districts. Our concerns, from that point, I'll just go down and share with you some of the concerns, and you maybe heard most of them already. But I look at these components of Alaska 2000 as having potential in the positive. And if it doesn't do that in the legislation, and there's a large part that's missing here, and that's regulation, if we can't get these things addressed, then we have great concerns. But for right now, rather than looking for all the answers in legislation, we feel that regulation is going to be a part of this whole effort as well, so we want to monitor the whole thing. When we talk about increased school terms, and I'm talking about Senate Bill 61, increasing the school term, we have many supporters who'd like to do something along that line, but the point is we want to increase the educational opportunity, whether that be contact time, whether it be instructional time, whether it requires an extended year, whether it requires early childhood education. There are going to be resources that are going to be expended, and we have issues out there that we have to address. We're not sure that extending a school year meets that criteria. We tend to think that we do have a class size problem. We think that a unit increase is required. We think that early childhood education is an area we need to look to. We think that possibly extending a school year may be one option. Increasing the contact time with students may not require 200 days. So we have some latitude. We don't have all the answers yet, but we're going to the focus group and we're going to try to reconcile these things. When we talk about flexibility and funding grants, we're in favor of that. We think anything that can increase the educational opportunity and school improvement at the local level. There are some concerns about the latitude that would be given to outside groups. We're always concerned about public dollars being spent within public schools or within that framework. Establishing of advisory boards. The whole idea of establishing advisory boards is to get the public involved. If the language causes people a lot of problems, then let's fix the language. But the intent of advisory boards is to include the public. That's what Alaska 2000 is aimed at. That's what we like to see happen. Okay. Establishing tenure review committees. Everybody probably thinks I put this one in, but it's not my baby. If you recall, we asked to extend the probation period to provide mentoring and professional development for new teachers, to provide them with an opportunity to gain the experience before they were evaluated and decided upon future employment. That didn't come through. I think you heard some of that about the committee work that took place, the recommendations that were made, and how some people felt very concerned that those recommendations didn't come through. We didn't make those decisions. But I do commend the State Board of Education for doing what they've done, and that is setting an agenda that we can respond to. And I'm glad to have that opportunity. So on tenure review, you've heard all the problems. I think that the design, as I understood it, was when the question or the issue of tenure was brought up, the response was, if your administrators did a better job, you wouldn't have a problem with tenure. I think that, taking it, you know, it's been put in the context here to say a review committee to review an administrator's evaluation is their answer. I don't know that we agree with that because of some of the legal issues that have been brought up by prior testimony. But I think it's an attempt to put more of an emphasis on that evaluation and review. Whether it does it or not, we need to talk about that, and we're willing to work and shape that. When we talk about the committees, we have some of the same concerns that you heard earlier. If this doesn't do it, then what would do it? From the standpoint of reviewing and putting increased emphasis on the evaluation, whether it be through a review or whether it be through revising that evaluation process. But I think it's something that merits some attention. And lastly, on charter schools, we have some of the same concerns again that you've heard about public funding for private schools, but I don't believe that that's what charter schools are designed to do. I think the charter schools, at least in this legislation, and as I understand it, that all takes place under the auspices and direction of the local school board. I think if you make an application for a charter school and you don't satisfy the criteria or you pull resources away from the educational program, I don't think a local school board is going to look very kindly on that kind of an attempt. But here's what I do see. I see an opportunity for a group of educators to identify like groups, whether it be in the areas of concerns. I'll give you two examples. One example would be students who are trying to maybe college bound and want AP courses. And another example may be one of remediation. Okay. If a group of educators were to develop a program that satisfied the criteria to provide curriculum and assessments to take kids who qualify of like interests and to pursue a course of education through the public school under a charter with some flexibility that maybe attracts some of the people who aren't interested in coming to public schools. If we can put something like that together, I think it's a good idea. An example would be an increased emphasis not only on academics, but for an example, if you wanted to look at an increased emphasis on maybe computer technology, the opportunity for a focus group under a charter school to attract corporate sponsorship to IBM or Apple or whatever for software, hardware, technical training. I think there's great potential there, but it has to be within the public school setting. I mean, funds cannot be diverted from the public school. I think we need to provide flexibility within the school. And some of these things can be done under the current process. So we need to talk about that whole thing about charter schools. I don't look at it as a threat, as long as charter schools aren't formed in a private setting with public funds. I think the goal needs to be clear. The same examples I give you could apply to remediation. Could apply to almost any segment of our schools where you see a group of kids who could benefit from that sort of effort. So what I want to share with you today as I close my comments, there's a positive side to some of the things that I see here. And I think the School Board Association chooses to take the high road on this one with hopes then we can help shape the legislation to accomplish those things. I think the reasons for these items being on here are more important to examine than the items themselves. So with that, I expect to be coming back to you. We're going to convene this focus group on the 12th and 13th, that's Friday and Saturday. We're going to examine all of the Alaska 2000 recommendations right through the foundation. We have a lot of issues to reconcile, and this group is going to have the opportunity to review all the comments from all the school districts and try to identify those areas that we can address through the committee process. As I mentioned earlier, it's very difficult to work through the committee process and address the kind of issues that we may be coming to you on without stalling the bill, and that's not our intent. But we do want to ensure that the bill does progress through in a meaningful way, that it addresses the needs of our kids. So with that, the Association of Alaska School Boards supports, in this case, Senate Bill 61, and we want to work to shape this legislation so that it has a positive effect on our kids. And with that, I'd try to answer any questions you might have.
Thank you. Questions of the committee? Senator DeSantis.
Yes, thank you. Mr. Rose, a couple of comments first. I appreciate your testimony here, and I appreciate your overall goal to try to shape the legislation as it goes through the committee process. However, as you know, this bill has only one committee referral other than finance, where I don't know that it'll get the kind of debate that focuses on the educational issues that it does here. I'm real interested in what your focus groups have to say about it, and interested in the ways in which you think we can amend this legislation to more appropriately deal with what real education reform is needed in Alaska schools, and I think you hit on some of it. I was a little troubled toward the end of with the two examples that you gave for potential good use of charter schools, because in my mind there are potential bad uses of charter schools, and that would be either forming a charter school to deal with just advanced placement students, or forming a charter school to just deal with students with special education needs. I think that goes, in the one hand is an elitism approach to education, actually both ways probably yes, and it scares me from both angles, because I think that there's potential damage to education, to public education there, not just from taking the resources out of the public school arena, but from taking out some of the diversity from within the public school arena. And I know that's a great debate that can go on forever, the value of tracking versus the value of a diverse student population. But that those two examples kind of scare me.
Mr. Chairman, if I may, for example, what if we were to take a look at subject area or interest? There are any number of ways that you can apply a charter school.
Could we do that now? What prevents it now?
Well, what I'd like to see is the opportunity to cross your curriculum. And if you can do it through a charter school, if you can do it through your present setting, I think it's a great idea. I don't know that we have a lot of latitude in a lot of small schools to entertain the charter school. I don't know if you can get it to function. Yes, exactly. But in some of the larger areas, perhaps it is some latitude that they can provide. I really don't know. In many of our small schools, we don't have the private school setting in competition with public schools. But in the larger cities, there is a competition, and if you ask those people why they pursue that, they have a whole range of answers as to why. And if you had the flexibility within a public school setting to address those kinds of students and parents' needs, perhaps you could do a better job. I only want to look at this from a flexibility standpoint and to ensure it stays within the public school setting.
We have about two more minutes. So Senator Sabo.
Yeah, a quick follow-up. All around Alaska right now, we have schools within a school, right? That's becoming an increasingly popular concept to offer alternative programs. And in addition to that, separate alternative programs. In your opinion, from a school board perspective, what, if anything, is impeding the further development of those types of alternative programs?
I think what I see here is the way that we fund these schools, possibly. My idea of a charter school is a school within a school. governed, in short, by a board under the auspices of the local school board. Criteria is set, and they have the ability to exempt themselves from some of the local policies. I don't know about all the regulations and the state policies, but some of the local policies can be exempted. The dollars that actually remain after you back out the operating costs per student that actually is left for a charter school to use may impede the process. You may not want to entertain that thought, but I really don't know. I think I like the school within a school process with a board of directors separate and aside, but under the auspices of the local board, and that determination has to remain with that local board because of the possibility of directing dollars out of the regular program. So we look at charter schools and we have some of the same concerns. We'd like to see the legislation allow some flexibility and work, be able to work through regulation to answer the majority of our concerns, because if in fact private schools or dollars are diverted to private schools from public with public funds, school board association would be opposed to such a move.
Okay, thank you very much. And we'll certainly take that testimony under consideration. I know that the department in their testimony Monday assured us that that was not possible. That's a valid concern that make sure it gets brought up.
Thank you.
I'd like to also, if I could ask, I know that the Association of School Boards and NEA and anyone else has offered to submit written testimony to both of you. I'd certainly welcome it, and I'd appreciate it in advance of next Wednesday, because we'll be bringing this bill back up again on Wednesday, and also for the members of the committee here. And if they have any amendments that they want to propose, the more advance notice that I can get, I'll make sure it's distributed to all the members, and we can start taking up amendments and work our way through this. See what we want to do. Thank you.
Are we adjourned?
Senator Hess is adjourned. Thank you.